Hey y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode number 463, I get to welcome to the show Joanna Weaver. Cease striving, right? That's what Shabbat, cease striving. Okay, but inner rest while labor.
Inner tranquility. In the
tranquility, that's a way better
isn't
word.
That a better word? That there is a way to do all the things, and yet do it with that centered place of belonging to the Lord, of receiving His rest, the Shabbat, the peace of God, while still in the midst of necessary labor.
Joanna is the author of the best-selling book, Having a Mary Heart in a Martha World, and it has sold millions of copies. Maybe if you've been in the church a while, you've heard of it. The concept being, how do we, as moms, as women with busy lives, keep doing all the things and also cultivate intimate relationship with our Savior, Jesus? And so she's talking about the heart of Mary who sits at Jesus's feet while also living in a world that Martha is showing us, that there are meals to be prepared. There are children who need us. And so we're going to have that conversation. Joanna also has a book called Embracing Trust, and she brings in some of those truths to encourage us. It's a real vulnerable, authentic conversation. She gets me talking. She and I have a shared love of inner healing prayer. We have prayed together outside of recording any podcasts. And she even prayed for me after this episode, which I can talk more at the end. But Joanna's the real deal. I'm thrilled to get to share with y'all. And I hope it encourages you in whatever is holding you back in having that kind of intimacy with Jesus. So let's get right to it. Here we go. Joanna, it is hard to believe that I am welcoming you for the first time to the Don't Mom Alone podcast, but welcome.
I'm so glad to be here. I have so appreciated your ministry from afar and then just recently a little bit up close. And I just thank you for being available to the Lord and all that you do, Heather.
Well, I am thankful for you. It's a mutual gratitude party right here, guys. I don't know if everyone listening has even read my book, Don't Mom Alone, but I quote Joanna in my book from her bestseller,
Having a Mary Heart in a Martha World. It's okay.
Mary Heart in a Martha World. I was going to say, and then I was like, wait, which one was Martha and which one was Mary? And some people listening are like, who the heck are these Martha and Mary people? So
we'll dig in there.
One guest recently, Casey Van Norman, she shared the story and she was talking about anxiety. And she was talking about what Jesus was asking her to do and how she's divided. I am so thankful for you because in this season, for me personally, I am feeling all the tasks that Martha felt, all the tasks that have to be done. You have to feed people. You have, and then it's end of the school year. There are things you have to be at and they just pile and the emails pile. And I had a meltdown and I was just saying all the things like I'm not enough and I can't keep up and I'm the worst friend and I'm the worst mom and I'm the worst wife and just berating myself and feeling such defeat. I don't want to be this version of me. And I know you have a word for us today. So I would love to hear like what prompted you and what season were you in where you wrote this amazing book. So, I mean, how many years ago was it?
Oh my goodness. It came out in 2000. Isn't that insane?
Wow. So you're about to hit 25.
Almost 25 years. And what's so wild, Heather, is that the message still resonates in my soul. Like, I'm still the girl. My husband says, hey, honey, there's a really good book you ought to read. Because I think
we need to be reminded, right? It's not like we arrived.
Oh, my word. And I kept thinking that was what was going to happen, which I really think is honestly part of our frustration is we think I should have been farther by now.
I shouldn't have to struggle with
exactly,
this.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And yet, you know, even though I haven't arrived, I,
kind of a little funny story. I used to pray, and I meant it from the bottom of my heart, Lord, make me perfect by the time I'm 30. That was like
okay,
my heart's desire.
This is the bar.
It is. And that's where, honestly, where all the frustration comes, because we know what we ought to be and we're working so hard to do it. We're doing the Martha. I mean, you know, I always say, you know, there is like a Mary and a Martha inside of me. I want to worship like Mary, but the Martha keeps bossing me around. It's nobody else's expectations that crush me. It's my own. And so this book has just continued to be so important in my own life to remember that when Jesus rebuked Martha in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, when she's like, Lord, don't you care? Tell my sister to help me, you know, and he diagnoses worry. You're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. When he gave that rebuke, he wasn't rejecting Martha as a person or even Martha as her giftings. He was just saying, Martha, Martha, you're so busy in the kitchen. I'm the bread of life. I've come to feed you. And the same intimacy that Mary's enjoying at my feet, that can be yours as well. And so it's this beautiful checkpoint for me to realize that it's not a personality type. God's not rebuking Martha for being who she was. He was just inviting her to relationship. And that's the still point that God keeps bringing me back to is, Joanna, you don't have to perform for me. I didn't choose you to use you. I chose you for relationship. And out of that relationship, everything else can flow.
I didn't choose you to use you. So where were you? I asked this question, then I just sidetracked on a different question. Where were you in your season of motherhood when 24 years ago, you maybe even longer, because I know how long it takes to write a book. What was going on in your life?
Oh my goodness. Well, I was a pastor's wife, young pastor's wife. We were at our new lead position for about 4 years. I had two kids that were under the age of, I don't even know because I can't do the math, but they were younger.
Like toddler preschool.
Yeah. And probably those early years of elementary. And so, you know, you're doing it all. You're doing t-ball, baseball, you're doing church, you're doing PTA, you're doing all this. In fact, one of the stories I tell in the book is that I had gotten a birthday card, and it was this woman with like about 7 hula hoops spinning around. And she had this really peaceful, serene look on her face. And I'm like, that to my husband, I'm like, that's my life. And I begin to just talk about all of the different responsibilities I felt, just like you, just pulling me in so many directions and never feeling like I was enough. But then the Lord brought me back to that face and that serene look on her face. And I felt like the Lord said, Joanna, she found her center and she's letting everything else move around that. And that was exactly what I wasn't doing. And to be honest, now that I don't have small children, we have a son that's still at home. He was our little surprise when I was 40. I still do the same thing where I get so busy trying to keep the hula hoops going that I can neglect the center. And even just this morning in my devotions, the Lord bringing me back to that place of, Joanna, just tend the connection, my relationship with you, and then everything flows out of it. But when I make the periphery the center, that's just crazy making.
It's really, it's a fantastic image. And it's the reality of what I was saying to you before we got on. It's not like I can take the advice of, well, just do fewer things. Say no to more. Then you won't be so overwhelmed. It's like in part of the reality of having 4 boys in the season we're in is there are a lot of things and then having a job. And it's not like Jesus was saying, don't cook.
Right. Exactly. Wouldn't have that made a great 11th commandment?
Thou shalt not cook in the kitchen. Yeah, no, it is interesting. It's not about the doing that was his part of the correction. And like you said, it was a gentle. It's that the relationship isn't based on the doing.
Yeah. Well, and I think for me, that was so freeing because even though I knew I was fully accepted and loved by God, there was still this performance orientation. Like, I got to do good. I got to be good. I've got to be the perfect mom. I got to be the perfect pastor's wife. All the shoulds that I was just drowning under. And, you know, for me, just I think part of my problem was I had made that relationship with Jesus. I had also put so many expectations on that. I had loaded that so heavy that it was just one more duty. It was just one more place that I had to show up for and one more place where I fell short.
Verbalize some of those. What are those expectations we have of Jesus?
Well, I think for me, you know, I had this idea that if I was a really good Christian, I would read through the Bible in a year, you know, because like that's what everybody has to do, which meant, you know, three chapters a day. And so if I was going to spend that much time in reading the Bible, then I needed to, you know, spend that much time in prayer. And if I spent that much time in prayer, I better go door to door witnessing, right? All the silly shoulds that we put on. And it's almost like we do the Pharisee. Genuinely want to serve God, but we tie up so many heavy burdens and we put them on our back. And that's one of the things so beautiful about the good news of Jesus is that he came to untie those heavy burdens. He didn't come to put more shoulds on us. Instead, he goes, hey, you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. Let me give you rest. Let me untie all those shoulds and all those have-tos. Just hang out with me. And so simplifying some of those things, realizing that especially as a busy mom, that if I can just give Jesus 5 minutes, right? Like, or even just invite him into the busyness because he wants to do life with us. Where I'm not compartmentalizing him into the Jesus box, but I'm inviting him into my day. Just, you know, even sometimes just, you know, as you're laying there in bed before you even get it up, sometimes I just pray, Lord, would you come take the throne of my heart? You see all the things I have to do, but you know what's important. And Lord, I just access your power within me. To help me do all you ask. And then a friend said something really powerful. She said, Joanna, have faith that God will help you get done what needs to get done and trust him with the rest. And I think that's where I even still get off track. I'm like, I have to, I must, I should. All of the responsibilities are so crushing rather than just coming and saying, Lord, here's my day. Here's all the things before me. Lord, thank you that you're going to give me the strength that I need. Thank you that you're going to go before me. You're going to go behind me. The places where the ball drops and I've messed up, that you're going to cover that as well. It really comes down to trusting him, I think. Trusting that he is for us, that he's working on our behalf, that he's not back there with his arms folded, judging us on our performance, but he's actually living within us. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, dwells in you, and he wants to quicken our mortal bodies. And the stuff that doesn't get done, well, Lord, you know about that. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you to make my little much because I'm putting it in your hands.
Here we are talking about how do we have inner tranquility in the midst of chaotic and just busy lives that just keep going. We can't stop it. A lot of the things just have to be done. One thing I want to introduce you to that's going to help streamline your life a little bit and help you be present for what really matters is the Skylight Calendar. It is a smart touchscreen calendar and an organizer for all your chores, your groceries, your to-do lists. It's a great way to manage appointments, making sure everybody in the busy household is on track, on the same page, and it is so easy to set up and use. Just like the Skylight Frame, it's just like a plug-and-go kind of situation. The Skylight Calendar also syncs to existing family calendars. If your family uses Google or Apple or Outlook, it will all pop up on the touchscreen. You can add new events. I love that you can add events that are color-coded to your kids. That's fun to say. So Knox can have his own little color. I also added a chore chart. I was trying one chore. Okay, so the current chore on the chart is folding your clothes. Bruce will wash and dry and put them in baskets. The baskets usually end up sitting in the boys' rooms. So now when it's finished, they can push the complete button on the Skylight calendar and it does like a little confetti celebration situation. It's super motivating, kind of even a little competition between the kids. You can add emojis, and when it's not in use, you can turn it into a digital picture frame if you have the Skylight Plus account. There's 100% satisfaction guaranteed. If you don't love it, you'll receive a full refund. They offer a 120-day money-back guarantee and free returns. As a special limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/alone. That's skylightcal.com/alone. Pay attention. That's a different code than usual. Mother's Day is coming right up, so order today to get 15% off your purchase at skylightcal.com/alone. I'm just receiving all of your good words and letting them soak in. And I'm thinking too, as that prayer you said before you even get out of bed, I'm thinking in a moment where maybe it's 2 p.m. or the panic's starting to rise, or you're thinking of, oh my goodness, I thought I'd have this already accomplished and I'm getting to this point. And that might be a habit that even I am reminded in this to institute, is pausing 2 seconds to pray. Like, I'm making my will. I'm getting caught up in the frenzy. Spirit of peace, calm my heart, bring to mind what needs to be done, let the rest of it fall away. Like that simple turning to him and not to the phone or not to the yelling at the person driving. I don't know the things that I can do when I'm getting overwhelmed with all of the things.
Yeah. Well, that's a good reminder. For me, my latest book is called Embracing Trust. Letting go and holding on. Beam me up, Scotty.
Right. It feels like that's what rest is. The only way to get rest is to just shut it all down.
Yeah.
Cease striving, right? That's what Shabbat, cease striving. Mm-hmm. Okay. But inner rest while laboring.
Inner tranquility in the
tranquility. That's a way better
isn't
word.
Isn't that a better word? That there is a way to do all the things, and yet do it with that centered place of belonging to the Lord, of receiving his rest, the Shabbat, the peace of God, while still in the midst of necessary labor. And that's been really powerful for me to realize it's both and, it's not either or. God's not going, well, when you slow down, then we'll have time. It's like, Joanna, I want to be with you in the busyness, because I'm a multi-passionate woman like you. And there are just things that it's not optional. It's not optional not to show up. And so, Lord, how can I show up trusting that you will make my little enough? And if it doesn't appear to be enough, well, I'm going to have to trust you with that as well.
Well, and I can see the connection between trusting in that performance we were talking about earlier.
It really is. The
performing is that I'm trusting my effort and I'm believing that my acceptance is tied to my performance. But when I'm trusting that I am a child of God, I'm already grafted in. My inheritance is earned. My eternity is secure. There's nothing I can do or not do that will change that. And I'm really believing
yes.
that. Then no performance is going to earn me what actually matters, which is an eternal relationship with the living God. But I'm doing and going so that the people around me think I look good.
Yeah.
For my glory.
Right? I know.
Oh, there's that Heather always showing up late to the meeting. Oh my goodness, their kids forgot the spirit dress day again. And oh my goodness, her kids failing 4 classes. I mean, it's like the shame piles of little things that we're missing as a family and personally that are true.
Right.
I'm dropping these balls or hoops in your analogy. But to be able to move through those mishaps or quote unquote failings with inner tranquility.
Yeah.
it comes down to trust and relationship.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, there's something so powerful about the resilience God wants to give us. You know, when we really do go, oh, I did, wow, I messed up. And I think sometimes as Christians, we kind of keep repentance for the day we were saved. And we secretly think that's the only time we need to repent. And so as a result, we live under a lot of shame. We don't realize that we can daily come to the cross, hour by hour, minute by minute. I'm doing this interesting thing in my quiet time because the shoulds and the guilt and the regret and I should be better. And that's probably, if I was to diagnose my weakest place where the enemy leverages shame, that would be it. I know what I ought to be and I want to be so much better than I am. And that really, it really offends me that I'm not. And that could take us a whole nother discussion. It really is. I'm offended that I don't have it together. And so then I end up berating myself and rating myself and comparing myself to other people. And why do they do so well? And I can't seem to get my act together. And all the junk that really just keeps me circling in self-pity and shame, rather than just coming to the one who can cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So this is what I'm doing, especially when I wake up. I don't know if you have these, but sometimes I wake up with the morning dreads, you know, where all of a sudden, whoo, you forgot that person.
Whole day,
you didn't do this.
The whole day falls. Yeah.
And so you feel defeated before you even begin. And so one of the things I'm doing, this sounds so silly, but I'm just imagining, you know, how the Bible talks about that, of course, we confess our sins and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And that's a continual thing. That's a present tense, not just past when I gave my heart to Jesus, but that present continual cleansing. Yeah. But then it has, Paul writes about that he sprinkles us with from a guilty conscience, which isn't that what the dreads are? Mm-hmm. And so this sounds so silly, but I've just come to where I, rather than nursing and rehearsing all of my failure, I just come to the Lord and I just say, Lord, please forgive me. And I imagine myself walking through this veil of sprinkling and the cleansing power of Jesus and just letting him wash me new. And this is the silly part. I almost imagine myself like Elsa in Frozen, going through that veil and, oh, she's transformed. She's got princess. A new gown and she's free, because that is the promise that we have. Daily, moment by moment, we can be cleansed from the guilty conscience. That can be legitimate guilt and that can be the false guilt, the real and the imagined, all of it cleansed.
That's really good, because I always think like guilt is like something I did wrong. And most of the time it's some to-dos or shoulds that aren't even real that I've made up. Like the Pharisees creating new laws, adding to the Torah. It's like I'm adding to-dos and shoulds that I'm feeling guilt and shame about. So I love that, the false guilt conscience.
Well, there is an overactive conscience that continually condemns. And unfortunately, with that false guilt, it leads us to worldly sorrow, which is just regret, paralysis. I'll never change. I'll never be better. But godly sorrow leads to repentance. I don't have to excuse it. I don't have to deny it. I don't have to rationalize it. I don't even have to figure out if it's false or real. I just get to repent. Mm. And then I get to receive the forgiveness. And that's the key. Will I receive?
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the thing that's so beautiful about Martha. You know, Luke 10 ends with the rebuke. And I don't know about you, but that, for the Martha in me, that I don't really care for that story. But when I begin to look at other places where Martha is and Mary are talked about in scripture, John 11 and 12, John 11 shows a completely different story. Rather than Mary being the one who runs down the road to meet Jesus when their brother Lazarus dies, it's Martha who runs down the road and she falls at Jesus' feet and she says, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. She pours out legitimate pain. But then without waiting for a response, she says, but even now,
I know that God will give you whatever you ask. And this woman telling God what to do has been so transformed by what I believe she received the rebuke of the Lord rather than rejected it or resenting it. Out of that came a deeper relationship where she could still be honest. She could still pour out her sorrow, but her faith rose up rather than her doubt. And not that she did it perfect, you know, because then when they're at the grave and Jesus says, roll away the stone, Martha says, but Lord, he stinketh. You know, it's like, okay, wait a minute. You're here. I'm glad you're here. Let's just leave good enough alone. And yet the Lord says, give me access to your pain. And I would even feel like today the Lord is saying to some of you, you know, that pain, that shame, that place where you feel entombed and stuck and like you'll never have victory. He just says, will you give me access there? And this is the beautiful good news of the gospel. You guys, even good girls need a savior, maybe even more, because we think it's up to us. And so we can bring these moments where we feel like a failure, when we feel like we're not enough. And rather than that being a wedge between our heart and God, it can actually be a doorway to deeper relationship. And so she gives God access to the mucky, yucky, stinky things of her life. And he calls forth Lazarus. And, you know, but he says these words to her, you know, Martha, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God, which again brings us back to trust, that place of pain. Okay, will you let me have access? Will you let me, rather than being paralyzed by worldly sorrow and an overactive conscience, would you give me access there? And I don't know, that's just kind of the journey I'm on even currently of just, I need God to rewire my thinking because my thinking's faulty. And all I have to do is just give him access.
That's so good. Man, everything you say, Joanna, I'm just like, yes, mm-hmm. yes, yes, yes. The accepting forgiveness you and I have talked mm-hmm. about.
Yep.
How through inner healing prayer, yeah. which you and I are mm-hmm. big fans yeah. of, and you all have listened, you know, I've got episodes on that. But so many times I'll be in prayer with people and we'll identify the false belief and they'll confess the false belief and they'll acknowledge that, yes, God, we know you forgive all things. And then I'll say, okay, now accept that forgiveness. And do you know how long the pauses yeah. usually are? That is where the most resistance comes.
Yeah.
Because it's like the being aware of it. Okay. Yeah, I'm aware. Okay. Yeah, I've been believing wrongly, which sometimes it, like you and I know this, but in inner healing prayer, sometimes things are done to us, not God's intent. And in the process, we start believing things wrongly about ourselves or about God. And we're confessing. I'm not like, woe is me, I'm so bad, but more just like, I want to be right with God. I want to line my thinking up with God's truth. And it's like, but there is something about that. As soon as they say they accept his forgiveness,
yes,
the tears flow. And it is that visual, what you just said, that water flowing, they often get that visual. Spinning, like some of them had short hair, but they picture this long hair and like spinning in the like a waterfall falling down. Like it's incredible.
Praise God. So what do you think the lie is that the enemy's leveraging against you?
Oh man, in this situation? Yeah. Yeah. Joanna, you're good.
God's good.
Yeah. But I think I feel a lot of guilt and shame in this season of parenting where I'm not seeing the fruit I thought I would see. For the efforts that I've put in.
Yeah.
And so the lie is a lot of that performance. Like I held up my end of the deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then I just feel defeat. Like what's the point in continuing to put effort in? Mm-hmm. I mean, I had someone reach out and ask for a devotional for teen boys today. And I'm like, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Why are we forcing our teen boys to do devotionals? Like,
You know what I mean? Right. I just have lost hope in the process. And even one of my sons yesterday, he was like, Mom, nothing against your podcast, but you just keep setting this high bar for moms of like what they need to do, and it makes them feel bad. And anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, you know, here's something that I'm learning, Heather. I always thought it would be the places I had together that God would use most. And it turns out it's the places where I've been broken, where I haven't been enough, you know? And I would just say to those moms out there that are probably crying with us right now, because they're like, yes, this is the battle. And I used to resent that. There are so many places. You and I had a prayer session where you prayer counseled me and all of my inadequacies and like, why do other people seem to be able to do it? And what is the sticking point for me? But you know, I've come to realize that perfect life that I want, the perfect results, that formula Christianity, where if I do this and I do that, then this has to happen. And God, you better make this happen or else.
Yeah. Because trust in my efforts, not in him. It's that trust thing.
It is.
That's what a formula is.
It really is. It's working the system, which is what the Pharisees did. And Jesus came and said, there's a better way. You don't have to work the system. You just have to come to me. Like, bring all those broken places. Bring the broken dreams. I mean, bring the disappointment and the disillusionment. Bring it to me. I'll help you sort it out. And I'll set you free. But it's interesting. I've come to this place where honestly, Heather, I wanted to be perfect by the time I was 30. But I'm so glad God didn't answer that prayer. Because I would have missed out on a lifetime of knowing him in a deeper way, because I needed him in such a deeper way. And sometimes in our quest for perfection, what we're really praying for and wanting is a life that has no need of God.
Yeah.
And so those places that haven't turned out, those places that I still fail, they're becoming an avenue and a stepping stone to a deeper relationship. The enemy wants it to be a stumbling block. You know, he wants me to get angry at myself, angry at people. And here's the problem with formula Christianity. We're left with two conclusions. Something's wrong with me or something's wrong with God. And it becomes a wedge one way or another. And I've just decided those places where I'm discouraged, those places where I have worked so hard and done everything right, and I'm not getting the results that I hoped for, I'm just offering it as a love gift to the Lord. And I don't get that. I don't understand. I really resent that I'm broken and incomplete. But I want to make my life an offering to you, even these sorrows and these disappointments. And what's so beautiful is that it's the broken places, the sorrowful places, that actually are a magnet for his grace and his presence. A broken and a contrite heart he will not despise. If I've got it all together, I have no need of God. If I am like, if you'll just be more like me, your children will all follow Jesus. Then basically it's follow Heather as Heather follows Heather, not as Heather follows Christ. And so, I feel that. So I guess the one thing that maybe we need to take a step further is, okay, I see the lie. I see the disappointment. How do I stop letting it have that power?
Yeah.
Is there even anything way back in childhood that made it about performance for you?
Oh, my whole childhood.
Yeah.
My whole childhood. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you've taught on this podcast, Lord, where do I need to plant the cross and break that lie, break the power of that lie?
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think that. When I talk to people about inner healing prayer, I say it's not a one and done.
Right.
It's an onion.
It is an onion.
Different things show up and you find the root someplace else. And I've worked through
different aspects of my story and I've healed different memories in my story, but I definitely think that I'm going to get together with my people and we're going to tackle that, because I think you're exactly right. There is a memory where a lie permanently attached to my soul, that even if you tell me, well, you don't need to perform and you don't need to, like, you could tell me over and over, but if I don't address it in the memory and where it started, then
yeah.
And it's no fault of a parent. It's no fault of a, you know, it's circumstances happen and we start believing things.
Yep. Absolutely.
And we have to, and Jesus is like, I'm ready and willing and able. I was there. I'll go with you again. We'll go back. We'll bring some truth and set you free from that.
Amen.
So I think you're exactly right.
Well, I love what just getting honest, like, you know, I think the hard thing,
yeah,
I don't know if you feel this, Heather, but it's one thing to be broken and messed up when it's just a small group of people, but then you end up being on a platform like you are. Right. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for being so honest about the struggle, because, and here's the thing. I wonder if we all were willing to bring stuff into the light and be honest rather than put up the facade going, well, I'll just fake it till I make it. What if we really did get honest with the Lord and poured out our sorrow? Lord, if you would have been here, if this wouldn't have happened, I would be okay. But even now I know, and I just would say that I feel like this so strong, but even now we just declare over Heather's family, over her boys, we know that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. And I think here's a little piece for me that I've learned over the years. There is a place where we've got to once again surrender our children to the Lord and say, God, you're their savior. I'm not. You're their Messiah, not me. And wow, it doesn't look very, very good. And it's really humiliating that my kids are struggling. But Lord, I thank you. You love them more than I do. And you know exactly the keys to their heart. And so Lord, I'm just going to leave them in your hands. One of the things when I start trying to do the Joanna things, because I do, I'm so wise and all knowing. Like it's almost like, oh no, this is really scary. Things are falling apart. I've got to do CPR. And I'm like this, come on, breathe. You know, this cannot be. And sometimes I just hear the Holy Spirit say, clear. And it's like, I'm in the ER. And he's like, step back, girl, so I can step in. Because he's able to do far, far more. And so this feeling that you've been going through isn't a bad thing. It's just an opportunity to go, Lord, I place them in your hands. And God, I thank you that you're not going to give up on them. And because you're not going to give up on them, I'm not going to give up on them. And I'm not going to allow this despair and this hopelessness and this bad me, terrible me, it's all my fault. No. In the name of Jesus, they're yours and I'm yours. That's the exciting thing of belonging to him. You know, I talk about the four unshakable truths in embracing trust, and that is God is good. He loves me. I belong to him and he takes care of his own. And if I can just come back to that, Lord, I am not alone. You love me and you are working all things together for my good. So Lord, I'm not going to go into despair and hopelessness. I'm not going to go into self-hatred and self-loathing. No, I belong to you and you know how to work all things together for good.
Well, I can't think of a better way to end this situation than those truths. So I know this whole conversation, it was encouraging to me. And if two people are encouraged, it was worth every second. But I know that so many more will be. So I'm grateful, Joanna, to know you for all of the things that you've created to point us back to God's goodness and those truths. And we will link to all the things in the show notes. Y'all check out, Joanna has her own podcast, The Living Room with Joanna Weaver. I've been so honored to be on her show. And thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it.
I loved it. I loved it. God has got such good things for us. We can trust him.
That's good.
Like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, after we finished recording, Joanna was so sweet. She stayed on the call and we just dug in a little bit to why all those emotions came up for me. And we did some praying. We brought up some memories. We found a lie I was believing about responsibility. And she and I and Jesus, we went there. We got some healing. So much so, y'all, that I know that it happened, right? Like, I was there. But when I was trying to remember to record this outro, I'm like, what did we pray over again? Like, I feel so much freedom from whatever that negative thought was that I had to really dig in to remember. So I'm just saying, if you've never heard me talk about inner healing prayer, you've never heard episodes on it, we did link to it in the show notes. You can find show notes if you're listening through a podcast player. Usually it's at the bottom of the episode. You can say see more, or always on my website. We put the show notes up on the website, kind of like a blog post. It's heathermcfadyen.com, or you can go to don'tmomalone.com. Anyway, I highly recommend doing your research, connecting with an inner healing prayer ministry if you are finding some blocks in your intimacy journey with God, because I know it's not for super Christians. It's not like you're missing the mark, and if you would only do more Bible study, or you would only go to church more, or whatever, if your kids or what are all these external things? Jesus is like, let me get access to your heart and we will do the deep dive and we will figure out what you are taking ownership of, or what you are believing, or what is holding you back from fully trusting who I am and who I am in your life, and then releasing even your kids and a lot of what you're feeling you are responsible for. So anyway, there's my little testimony. Now, this is longer than normal. I'm going to pray for us. Lord, I'm so grateful that you are a God who wants to be near to us, that's the difference between any other divine figure and any other religion, is you desire intimate, close relationship with us. And you are willing and you are able. And oftentimes it is our own self that gets in the way, our own false ideas of who you are, or who we are, or about other people that get in the way, Lord. And I know you are willing to break those things down, to figure out the lies and bring us face to face with truth so we can really believe all the abundant life you have for us, even in the midst of challenges, even in the midst of dog bites and pain and hard things, that you are our source of peace and comfort and calm. So thank you, God. And I pray for whoever's listening that they would feel that intimacy with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, something is unlocked in my tears. Goodness gracious. If you didn't hear the update, I just alluded to it in the prayer, but my dog and I were attacked by another dog while Bruce and I were on our normal Saturday morning walk. My dog will be fine. I will be fine. It's a lot of slow healing, but I was really, really grateful that Bruce and I took that 25-year wedding anniversary trip so that I had some, you know, a little bit of goodness to pull from. There's always grace to walk through whatever challenge you're walking through. There's no grace for your imagination, but I have found that whenever we walk through, there is grace to get through it. So anywho, there's my little update. If you didn't catch it on the Instagram or in my email, I always put out an email on Tuesday. Sometimes it's Wednesday. Every week, you can sign up at olaheather.com. I'd love to connect with you there. All right, I'll see you back here next week. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone, because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.